Greetings in the light and love of the one divine life. I am a voice and messenger of that one divine life, and so are you. You're listening to Commander Lady Athena, and the voice of the Ashtar Command. Well, I'm so excited tonight, I could hardly wait until my showtime. I'm usually not told the topic that I am to address until shortly before the show. And when I heard this one, I was really excited, and I think you will be too. Tonight our topic is recognizing the cosmic codes and clues of your destiny. And I'm part of your destiny unfolding tonight, and that's why you find yourself listening to this show. And if you're a repeated listener, that's why you continue listening, is because I'm part of that triggering and activating of your divine unfoldment and the mystery of your life. I think everyone who remains young at heart absolutely loves mystery, romance, adventure. In fact, we spend most of our lives searching for these very things. Initially, however, we find that we are looking outside of our own life and the contents of our own life initially for the excitement and the mystery and the drama that we often feel our own life lacks. And so we'll examine the lies, the escapades, the achievements, the storytelling of others, the romance novels, the mystery novels, the films, TV, internet sites, science fiction. Oh, who doesn't enjoy an escape from the ordinary? In fact, today we're fascinated with the hidden codes, or what we perceive the possibility of being encoded and hidden, that leads us to a deeper understanding of things that we have sort of religiously or historically assumed to be the case on the outer surface of the events. Take the Da Vinci Code, for example. Although this was a novel, it caused us collectively to ask ourselves, well, what if? What if it were true, or at least had some elements of truth? What if divinity and humanity could coexist in the same life? And of course, we have made such an impossible archetype out of the life of Jesus the Christ that we often, in many, many cases, miss the humanity. And I think it's a good thing when we can look at the humanity of Jesus the man and realize that it is our story, and that we actually deprive ourselves of the full mystery when we relegate him to a religious icon or a religious prophet or even a religious teacher. He was humanity lived in its fullness, both divine and human, in the same body. And that's our goal too. So as we search outside of our own life and consciousness, it's mainly because we don't know, or even in many cases, that there is a possibility that we can look within, that there is something that can be triggered and produced that will outwardly manifest a change in our life. In fact, in truth, the only things that ever manifest in our life are all, without exception, triggered from decisions and choices that we have made within our own inner levels. And the reason why more of us don't look within is also because we, in many cases, are asleep and therefore unconscious and unaware that there are untapped inner mysteries and adventure and romance, and that we are each encoded and embedded with clues that will lead to the unfolding of this treasure map that leads to everything that in our highest divine desire we would have. It's all there waiting for our discovery. Every single thing that you seek without, you can find, trigger, and activate from an inner state of connectedness within your own life, your own heart, your own consciousness. So these codes are triggered by daily events in the environment in which you find yourself. So just take your life the way it is today and realize that you're sitting in the midst of a mysterious treasure hunt. The daily little things that go on around you, once you are connected with the game plan is to seek and find. Well, the ego has a game plan too. It's to seek and distract and never find. But you have a divine override here, which says that you are destined for your destiny. And you will never miss it. You can't miss what has been encoded and destined and marked for you. Oh, you can dance around and you can delay, but you can't ultimately foul up or prevent your discovery. Everything your heart yearns and aches for, you are destined and designed to find. So, that having been said, let's just take some of that burden off of our shoulders. That feeling that sometimes, oh my gosh, life's passing us by, or is it going to be just the same old day in and day out? No. In fact, one of the best things that you can possibly do is come to the end of your own answer to what's going to fix you, fulfill you, make you happy, do it for you, whatever that it is. Once you get over that and allow the divine miracle to have some wiggle room in your life, the sooner the better. So now I've done a nice setup here, a nice preamble for our topic. We've all had a dream experience that we didn't remember until later on in the day. Somebody said, or you heard something, or something happened, and all of a sudden that dream experience was triggered, and you remembered. Well, that's what I mean about embedded trigger mechanisms. There's always something that serves as a catalyst. It's interesting that out of a single grain of sand, which serves as an irritant under the shell of an oyster, constantly agitating that oyster, a pearl is produced. Isn't that amazing? I mean, nature is just full of all sorts of interesting analogies to our own unfoldment process. That's why we love butterflies. And how can a worm suddenly become winged and fly off into the air? It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But we are being told by the divine mystery, through these mysteries in nature, about our own essence, our own truth. So, how can we enter into the mystery, the romance, and the adventure within our own life? Well, here are some of the clues we can all watch for. The next time you experience, for no reason at all, a sudden surge of joy, and just a knowing that grasps you, it can be really subtle, but make note of where you were, what you were doing, and if possible, what you were thinking. Because in that instant, you were connecting with your divine destiny. Now remember from the Course in Miracles a few shows back, I said that your happiness and your function are connected. They are one and the same. That your divine function is to be the light of the world. And when you're fulfilling that divine function, you have happiness and wholeness and fulfillment. So it may seem odd to some people who are used to associating being on earth with being unhappy and being in a physical body with being entrapped to realize that these aren't factors at all in a higher level. The factor that we're looking at is, are you connected to your divine destiny, to your function? And if you are, you'll find that you're very happy. Unless you have labeled something outside yourself as the cause of happiness. Because true happiness, or ananda as it's called in Eastern teachings, has nothing to do with the surface of your life or the specifics of your life. It is purely an inner state that remains safe and completely unaffected by the outer events. In fact, sometimes the strangest, even calamities and disasters, will trigger that happiness, because part of us, in the divine sense, realizes that when the outer is stripped away, we have less entrapment in illusion and more opportunity to connect with our true destiny. And even though we are all designed to be the light of the world, your particular manifestation of light and love and divine life is totally unlike that of anyone else. So you are a one of original. Whatever it is you do, whatever your message is, however you choose to say it, even if a million people have had a similar message, no one has your particular encodements, your particular light, your particular love, your particular energy signature. So first and foremost, begin to stay open. Open without rushing to conclusions, particularly negative ones. Don't rush to label. Don't rush to understand. Don't rush to fill in the blanks and the silent places and the places without knowing, without conditioning. In fact, begin to court that space of emptiness and spaciousness, that place where you don't have any ego inserts. You don't have any answers. Nothing can fill it. In that open space, that's what I refer to as the wiggle room. The wiggle room for miracles. Miracles are always a suspension of the perception of time, space, and distance, and dimension, and all of the things that condition us in the lower consciousness. They are inserts of reality that simply appear in, and it's like everything is stilled by the wholeness that presents in that moment. So be alert, because you never know when they're going to show up. They seldom show up when you're seeking them, because the seeking itself is a denial that you have it at hand. So let go and relax. And be open to what is present in this moment, in this environment, in the situation in which you find yourself. Be aware and stay present, simply here and now. Just breathe in and breathe out and let it unfold. These clues appear in your day-to-day life. They come in your thoughts, your feelings, your intuitive nudges. And when you're in line with your destiny, they will always produce follow-up, contacts, events, and openings. Someone who crosses your mind suddenly calls. You don't know what to do next, and someone calls or shows up or suggests something. Or you discover a direction that suddenly you feel drawn to pursue. Be especially watchful when you've asked for a change in your life or you're at a crossroads. Many people today are finding themselves at a crossroads. We watched in very many mixed feelings as we saw people's uninsured homes split in half and fall into the raging floodwaters. Good heavens! What an experience to go through on one hand. On the other hand, what if that was part of the catalyst for that next unfolding of destiny? I know many people who live in the same home for generation after generation, or in the same town or county, or have been married to the same person 50, 60, 70 years. Personally, I welcome change. I welcome variety, and I welcome opportunity to have new experiences and to try things I haven't tried before. not that I'm advocating, to ignore tradition and you know, marital fealty and all of that sort of thing, but isn't it wonderful when we have a destiny that has lots of wiggle room for newness, new life, new experiences? And trust, beloved, that your life is really well laid out. It's laid out by a power higher than yourself, or yourself as that higher power integrated with the great all that is. And know that someone or something will always appear, always at the right moment. How many of you have had 11th hour and 59-minute deliverances? Oh, my gosh, I have again and again and again in my life in such funny ways that I could have never been that ingenious to have thought them up myself. So you know there's a higher power that has been at work in these situations. So I think initially a dream or a daily journal is really useful to begin to train you to keep track of these events. They're happening now in my life, and I've been at it for many years, to where I can't do that anymore. There's too many. It's like every minute I would be sitting with my daily journal if I was trying to keep track of it all. So at a certain point, you do let go of the whatever it is, the outer triggering device, and you move to direct perception of that which is. And this is something that many of you are ready to do, and maybe you just need a little encouragement. Maybe this show will serve as your encouragement, because sometimes we are being loyal to a discipline or a habit pattern or even a spiritual path that we have outgrown. And when we've outgrown it, we're not having any new breakthroughs. We're not having any new experiences. And when you don't experience miracles daily, then something's wrong, according to the Course in Miracles. So daily miracles are what you're entitled to. They're part of that higher life. They're part of the divine mystery, adventure, and romance that we're all seeking. And daily miracles, again, are little inserts of perfect love into the daily and ordinary that so transforms them that disease disappears and completely broken relationships are restored, and forgiveness. In fact, I love this statement from the Course in Miracles. The holiest place on earth is where an ancient hatred becomes a present love. The holiest place on earth is where an ancient hatred becomes a present love. Oh, isn't that beautiful? And that's a perfect example of a miracle that is truly a divine insert of love and grace into the small story of the ego's vengeance. So getting over our small story is a big, big part of beginning to open up to the greater story. The greatest story ever told is your story when it's told. And the only one that can tell it is you. So when you're caught up in the karma drama, the little pity pot story and the victim story and they done me wrong story, you can't really have any space and wiggle room for the miracle. So the first thing to do is to set aside that personal litany of complaining and kvetching and being upset and all of that. Just let it go. That creates just static. It wastes your time and the energy that is desiring to source through you unimpeded with romance, with adventure, and with the disclosure of more and more marvelous miracles. No, there's no end to the romance and the love. There's no end to the adventure, and there's no end to the mystery. If it was, and if there were, it wouldn't be the mystery, the great mystery. Native Americans call God the great mystery. How perfect And it is that enticing carrot, as it were, before the soul that keeps us moving and progressing and letting go and having enough trust to do that quantum leap that enables us to leap off the cliff, like Carlos Castaneda. He does that leap off the cliff, and not, he doesn't know whether he's going to fly or someone's going to pick him up and save him, or if he's going to just be dashed on the rocks below. So we have to be willing to do that, to just leap into the unknown and embrace it in just outrageous trust. And that's part of this moving into the miracle that's awaiting you. Now, people are unfolding today in prophetic knowing. It is coming to everyone. All of a sudden, we're waking up. Many, many people are becoming more and more conscious at a higher and deeper level. And some call this the sixth sense, or telepathic rapport, or ESP, or far memory, or projection, or intuition, or time travel, or soul travel. There's all sorts of names for this. But basically and essentially, it's learning to directly source from within the truth of whatever it is needs to be revealed in that moment, in that situation, and in that place. And you don't have to go anywhere, or as I often say, you don't have to outsource for that information at all. It will come to you directly when you have a need to know and have created a space for the knowing to occur to you. Now, that knowing will not occur to you if you're constantly dissing it, if you're constantly denying that it could be, if you're continually doubting, if you're continually pulling yourself up by the roots, as it were, to see if you're growing, that depth can't grow in you. So let that go. That's all part of the ego's trying to protect itself from being let down, hurt, disappointed. It's part of the small story. And none of that is serving you if you want to open up to the great mystery. So let go of that and just be present in innocence without trying to understand or to label or categorize or stick it into any of your little comfortable God boxes or philosophical boxes or whatever box you put your little knowings in, your science box or whatever. Let all that go. Let this just drop into that place that you've prepared and let it do what it's going to do. And keep company with it. Court it. See where it's taking you. See what its message is. Oh, that's a marvelous approach to life. So there's no such thing as coincidence. But one of the first things that starts to happen as you awaken to this greater life is that you'll notice that there are several interlinked events that begin to unfold in your life that serve to direct you and point the way for you to go. This has been termed synchronicity. And it's where, again, many things in a specific cycle of time seem interrelated. Watch those things. And I often say if the pony is trotting in the direction you're going, ride it as long as it's going in that direction. When it takes off into another direction you don't want to go, hop off and wait for the next pony. I have all these little ways of explaining things very simply, but that's really what you do. You stay with the energy as long as it is inspiring and uplifting and giving that feedback that is positive. That's what you go with, positive, energetic feedback. So the direction to go, the synchronicities, is tied in with your friends, conversations, both the ones you have and the ones that you just happen to overhear, thoughts, dreams, hunches, urges, those ahas where you suddenly see in a deeper way, those calls, even wrong numbers. How many times have I experienced those wrong numbers were really right numbers? So don't be in any hurry to be irritated or to hang up abruptly. Kind of be sensitive to that person on the other end and see if maybe it wasn't a wrong number after all. Bumping into someone by accident. Usually people are so embarrassed that they quickly mumble an apology and try to avoid further interaction with that person. But what if that person was divinely encoded to bump into you at just that moment because there was a message you both had to share with each other? So don't be in any hurry to avoid confrontation and those collisions with energy that we often call accidents, because there really is no such critter. Everything is designed to awaken you, to bless you, to enhance you, to liberate you, and to fulfill you in the highest divine sense. Everything. I don't care what it is. It has a silver lining. There's a pony under the pile. There's a happy ending to this story. Trust it. Know it. It's absolutely true. So also pay attention when the lyrics of a song just catch your attention. I remember poignantly enough, before my beautiful first teacher passed away, and she was young, it was just that she was completed with her mission, I caught the lyrics of the song from the Sandpiper movie, The Shadow of Your Smile. And it was, the lyrics were, the shadow of her smile when she is gone. And just for a second, her face passed before me. And I quickly dissed it because I didn't want to associate with her with being gone. And little did I know that 2 weeks later, she was going to leave the body in my arms in a very abrupt and unexpected way. So that was an example which I didn't want to actually pay attention to. But her transition into the higher levels, return to the Ashtar Command actually, was part of my destiny and part of my next step and part of my romance, because shortly thereafter I met my wonderful Venusian master husband, whom I had met aboard an Ashtar Command ship 3 years earlier. Now, had my teacher still been alive, I would not have been free to have gone off and embraced a new life and a wonderful marriage and a wonderful unfolding of my own ministry and destiny. So even a situation which at the time for me was absolutely devastating and heartbreaking turned out to be part of my destiny unfolding. So that's why it's so important to look carefully at what you have in your life and to bless it all and to see what divine message it has for you. Notice when people give you a gift or somebody places a book in your hand. I remember the story of Paul Twitchell, and this was way after he had already translated out of his physical body. But a woman was deciding where to go in her spiritual life, and she didn't know what to do. And a book that hadn't even been published yet that Paul had written was placed in her hands by Paul Twitchell himself, who happened to appear in that bookstore and hand her the book. These are strange and supernatural things that happen to people all the time. I've had these things happen to me. You turn around to say thank you, and that being has vanished. Have any of you had that experience? Well, I have. It is absolutely thrilling, because you realize nothing is important. Excuse me. Nothing is impossible to God. And nothing is so important going on in your life that there isn't wiggle room for the miraculous to occur. So again, move into seeing deeper and beyond the surface of your life. Your cosmic clues are all over the place, and they're guiding you irrevocably to your destiny. So again, don't rush to negative conclusions or judge, and therefore deprive yourself of a possibility. Keep open and flowing, and stay in the flow. With acceptance, of what is going on. As you keep still and present, and you begin to direct your mind in a positive way, and to calm your emotions by what you speak to yourself in your mind, you keep your chances much more available for that miracle. And you also keep your channel free of inner static. So as you keep connected, one of the simplest ways to keep connected, and let's do it right now, is take a deep breath. And ride that energy down. And where it stops is your pause of presence. And that's why many of the masters will give you so many counts breathing in, hold your breath, and so many counts exhaling. The reason they do that is to teach you to be aware of the space between the breaths, the space between thought. The space is the presence of the great mystery. So the breath with intention to connect instantly connects you, because the breath, again, is God breathed in you. It's God's breath that you're breathing. It's that life force. And then ask yourself, when you don't know what to do, now what? Guidance, please. Give me some guidance. And then watch. Be attentive, because it'll be coming in every way that you need to have it come so that you'll get it. A very dear friend of mine, and I think some of you must know her too, is a spiritual teacher, Anne Frances Hughes, who now goes by the name Gabrielle. And she had a way of handling situations in her life like this. She would say, "Beloved, I am that I am. Take charge and command of every atom of this experience." And that's another thing that you can do, is you can ask that highest divine destiny to take charge and command of all the details in whatever situation has presented a challenge for you. But bear in mind that the challenge is the rubbing together of those forces that catalyze that next advancement. You've got to have that friction of polarity down here in the lower worlds to gestalt that next whatever. So allow the frictions of your life, the confrontational, agitational, challenging things that every life is filled with, allow them to assist you to your highest advancement, your highest divine direction. Allow events to release you into what is next. And don't try to hold on, because you don't know what is for your highest good. You may be holding for dear death to something when everlasting life is beckoning you to let go. So when things have served their purpose in your life, they will leave. It might look like being rejected. It might look like divorce. It might look like being fired. It might look like somebody saying, "Get out of my face. I never want to see you again." Just don't let that be you, the one that's saying that, you know, because then you have created karma. But if you can graciously accept the events in your life as part of your divine destiny unfolding, you'll be much further ahead. So your clues will come in dreams. Those dream figures can be interpreted as all parts of yourself, your consciousness. What does that scenario, that person, represent to you? How can you see it applying to the situation you're in right now, to the thoughts you've been thinking, to the prayers you've been uttering? These are ways that you can decode the deeper meaning of your dreams. The great mystery is ever moving in us, ever moving through us, and ever moving around us. Everything is in line with our destiny when you are seeing and viewing your life correctly. Your destiny is to be happy, fulfilled, and fully operational at optimal levels. Wow. Well, what about karma? That isn't even a factor. That isn't even a factor. Karma is when you're unconscious, when you aren't accepting and receiving your divine life through grace, when you're still in the small personal pity me story of the ego, then you're in the karma drama. You're under the law of karma. But at any point, you can step free through divine grace. Okay, what about divine will? Your will, beloved, set free of self-imposed limitation is God's will. There's not two wills. There is only one will, and that is for you to be completely whole and happy and fulfilled and serving your divine function. So let yourself free. Let yourself be free. And don't put laws against yourself that you're now going to have to face and handle, because you're also a co-creator. So your limitations are self-acquired, and only you can choose to step free of them. You can pronounce your freedom at any point. It's not tied to time. It's tied to attitude. And the altitude of your attitude determines whether or not you're flying free or you're crawling along through the muck and mire of the ego's little pity pot adventure, which is not an adventure at all. So, limitations or freedom, you decide. You know, it's interesting. There's absolutely nothing that prevents us from fulfilling our function. Look at Stephen Hawking, the greatest brain, the greatest mind in the 21st and the 20th century. And yet, nothing works. The only thing that works in this man is his mind and his brain. He can't speak. He has to speak through one of those artificial robotic voices. Not a single part of his body functions. He's complete quadriplegic. And yet, wow. Now, this is a soul that chose to have no distractions of a physical nature. He just wanted to be let alone so that his brain and his mind could be his entire focus. And wow, look at how he's fulfilling his mission. So there are no exceptions. Your life reflects your personal choices. Well, what about illness? Well, when you see it as a limitation, then you've decided what you're going to use it for. You're going to use it for a block. But the Course in Miracles says that illness is actually a defense against the truth. Well, what is the truth? That you remain as God created you, in perfect wholeness. So disease is not a factor. It's when you're in dis-ease, and then you use the dis-ease as an excuse not to participate in your life. But your limitations can also serve you. For example, again, Stephen Hawking. But we also have the blind and deaf Helen Keller. Sure didn't stop her from getting a college degree and going on with her life. We have 17 years of sexual child abuse that brought Joyce Meyer into a worldwide ministry with what? Abused, rejected people. And she's a great teacher for how to use your limitations and turn them into a blessing and turn them into your own message. And then you have Billy Graham. Most of you don't probably know that Billy Graham went through a great crisis of faith when he was in Bible school. He felt called to preach the gospel, but he just really didn't understand large portions of the Bible. And so the question was, well, what do I understand? And do I want to go with what I do understand, or do I want to just lay it aside and go do something else for a career? And he decided that although there were many, many things he didn't understand in the scriptures, the one thing he did understand was that Jesus Christ sets you free and gives you the gift of eternal life when you turn to him and place your life in his hands. So that became the basis for a worldwide ministry of millions and millions and millions of people who were set on a new life path through his ministry. And I was one when I was a very, very young girl and heard his message. So, again, you can use these limitations to limit you, or you can allow your limitations to serve you and advance you as agents, directive agents of your divine destiny. Moses was a stuttering shepherd, a father and a husband, 80 years old when God called him to liberate the Israelites from the Egyptians. Whoa! So you're never too old. Krishna was 80 years old when he served as the charioteer during the Battle of Kurukshetra, the charioteer of Arjuna. Stravinsky was 80 when he created his greatest composition. Jesus was only given 3 years for his mission to save all of humanity from the effects of the fall. Beethoven was totally deaf when he wrote, some say, his greatest composition, which was the Ninth Symphony, an ode to brotherhood. He was totally deaf. How can that be? So you can see that your body is simply what you make it. It is not any excuse not to live your divine destiny. So, do you have eyes to see? Do you really see what is beyond the obvious? The Course in Miracles has one whole lesson that says, above all else, I want to see. That's something important for you to say every now and then. Above all else, I want to see. Show me great mystery. Show me God. What do I need to see here? Open my eyes. Open my heart. Now, an exercise that you can do to train yourself to see in other dimensions and to look into energy, when you're lying in bed at night, rub your hands together really rapidly. Some of you healers do that to bring up the energy of electrical sensitivity in your hands before you lay hands on people to heal. And this is similar. So rub your hands together, and in a totally darkened room, then separate them a few inches and look indirectly, kind of cross your eyes and look askance, and see if you can see the energy between your hands. If you look carefully, you'll notice that there's a little, kind of like little fog. Some people see it as like a smoky kind of energy. Some as a kind of a diffused light, kind of cloudy. And you can feel the prana also between your hands. Begin to look at things like that, very still. For example, you can take a picture. I like to take a picture of a divine being because it's good to connect with a divine being. And look at it kind of, again, with your eyes askance, not staring, but very relaxed, laid back, kind of a cockeyed way of looking. But keep your mind very still. And after a while, you'll notice the picture starts to go into black and white, negative kind of, like a photographic negative. It'll do that. It'll flash forward and backward. You'll see the face start to change. It'll look like it's coming out of the frame. Sometimes it'll smile at you or wink at you. Many times I've had pictures of Sai Baba do that. I have a Murti, a divine statue of Sai Baba, that actually at one time I had it sitting on a table pointing towards the TV, and it turned all by itself with its back to the TV. I mean, I've had some really interesting experiences in my life, so when I share these things with you, it's because I have a reference point in my own self about these things. You'll find then after a while you'll see the energy outline above mountains, around trees. You begin to see the auric field, the energy field is really what you're doing. You're looking through the etheric vision at the energy fields around objects. And this is the first glimmering of true sight when you begin to see beyond. All mystics say that after they have opened their heart and had their first divine encounter with God, is that everything looks so beautiful. It's like you fall in love with life and everything in it. Everybody suddenly becomes the beloved. And you truly look from then on through the eyes of your heart. And that's called the mystic vision. And that's something that I live in, I would say, about 95% of the time. And it's something that's available for all of you. Ask to have ears to hear. Know that, like the Course in Miracles teaches, that all sounds are echoes of the voice for God. So begin to hear the divine voice in all sounds. The crying and the wailing is really the crying of the soul for its own beingness, its own self, its own divine mystery to be unfolded. And so we begin to see everywhere we look the divine mystery. We begin to hear the divine encodements in all sound. Our mind opens, and with it comes a whole new perception of life. And that's what people are seeking when they talk about ascension, the dimensional shift and the quickening and the quantum leap. This is, beloved, step by step, broken down for you, how you can get into that now, today, with your next breath. And then in your life, beloved, follow what seems to be the most positive, happy, beautiful, light-filled possibility, where no one is hurt, no one is abandoned, no one is discounted. That, where it's a win-win for everyone. And that is indeed your divine destiny. You can also say pass to experiences, or give me more information, show me more choices, or only if this is for my highest good. And in that way, you can be proactive in the directing of your life and how you are choosing for it to go. So ways we block our fulfillment is through personal desire. Because when you want, need, beg for something, it indicates that actually you are seeing from your lack. And when you're presenting lack to the universe, guess what you get more of? So in a way you're saying, I don't have that. I'm empty. And so begin to watch your language. Instead of saying, I want, I need, I can't have, or I don't have, say, I am creating. I am now creating. And then place in whatever it is that you want. Somebody ask you about your health. Say, every day in every way, I'm creating more and more well-being in my physical body. Like that, you're language begins to work in harmony with your divine destiny. So even as lack draws more lack, and desire sucks energy and causes another thing to happen, is that when you desire something, you actually cause whatever it is you desire to withdraw from you. Isn't that interesting? How strange is that? And yet, we all know when we try to hold on to someone, especially a romance or somebody, oh, I can't live without you, please don't leave me. Guess what? They leave you. It's almost a given. So desire doesn't give energy. It takes energy. It sucks you dry and leaves you depressed and sad and empty. So don't do it. Instead, give the energy into the world and to others that you want more of in your life. Yeah, give it. Whatever you want, give it. Give it out. And that will notify the universe that you got two thumbs up saying, yeah, right on, give me more of that. But you're saying it by giving. You don't even have to say, give me more, but the energy of giving itself is notifying the universe. So, again, worry is a form of negative prayer. So, let that go. That's one of the ways you block your good. Let it go. You can't figure out a better way to deliver it than God, so let God do God, and you just do what you're designed to do, which is to be the light of the world. So gratitude is, again, another form of saying to the universe, yeah, right on. So in assuring, what is the best insurance and assurance for your future is your present trust. Your present trust is the best insurance and assurance of your abundant future. You don't need to do anything else but keep that present trust generated and going, and it will unfold everything else to you without your even being worried about it or concerned or at all trying to do anything. Trying to manipulate outcome is another way that we block our good. Second-guessing God, doubt, cynicism, fear, these are all ego's defenses against the truth of your perfect safety in God. So again, let it be okay not to know, not to have all the answers. You're not going to have all the answers. God's got to be God. Great mystery is eternal great mystery. Enjoy it. Celebrate it. Have fun with it. And don't try to put it in a box. So this desire for the things that we imagine we lack is actually what creates all of the world's conflict and all of the world's wars. Wow. So if we can stop it in ourselves, this constant desiring and thinking and imagining we lack, we can be part of resolving the conflicts and the world, the wars of the world. So the right solution, person, event always shows up. There's no exceptions. Keep a record of all your 11th hour and 59 minute miracles, and you will convince yourself that what I've shared this evening is absolutely right on. Everything has a reason and serves a purpose in your life. Everything. I don't care what it is. A little stray kitten on your porch, or a neighbor knocking on the door in the middle of the night needing some assistance. Whatever. We are all sharing one divine life, and we all have a divine destiny and purpose that makes up that one life in its total perfection. Nobody can insert that perfect peace that is yours. Nobody can fulfill your destiny. No one can deliver your message. So, beloved, your life is the greatest gift that you can possibly give to the universe. Giving the gift of your wholeness is what is meant by giving your love. To have all, give all to all. Let that be your nature. It is your nature. The very nature of God is to give. The very nature of the universe is to be abundant and to cultivate growth and to sustain growth and to nurture growth. And so likewise, you also are part of that process of life giving back to life. You can delay again, but you can never prevent the perfect joy that comes when you have awakened fully to your destiny. So, beloved, again, the greatest romance, the greatest adventure, the greatest story ever told is your story, is your destiny, is your life. And you are encoded. You are living the unfolding of those embedded encodements, those clues that are your, that surround you. Every area of your life is part of the unfolding of that divine destiny. Let's go out with a nice hue, and happy destiny to you all. You Adonai.